Amen. Thank you very much for being here this morning. Bill is under the weather today. I talked to him yesterday. He actually sounded pretty good, and he said he didn't want me to make a big deal out of it, so I'm not. But he is under the weather today, and so you might be mindful of that. You might email him or give him a call sometime later in the day. Last week, I had injured my back, but I was here for class, and I was kind of laid up for 4 or 5 days. Your whole teaching team is falling apart, I think. And I had trouble actually at the courthouse standing up and sitting down, and I sit down in the courtroom all the time, and I told my law clerks, I said, you know, I feel like an old man, and one's in his 20s and the other's in his 30s, and they said, that's because you are. So if y'all know any young lawyers that are looking for a job, I've got two openings. We have thoroughly enjoyed our study with you. The first 6 weeks or so were more, I hope you found them to be educational, talking about the Holy Spirit, what the New Testament says about the Holy Spirit. And the last few of these that we're going to do, including a couple that Bill's already done, is how does it work for us? What does it mean, I raised, Bill talked about, what does it mean to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit? And Bill talked, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? And today I'm going to talk about what does it mean, what does the Bible mean to us to be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, in the New Testament, there are a couple of places where the concept of being led by the Holy Spirit, as I'm going to talk about it this morning, occurs. And really only two. One is in Romans, and the other is in Galatians. Now, there are other places in the New Testament that talk about people being led by the Spirit, but those are more the Spirit actually physically leading them. If you may recall, right before Jesus was tempted, the Bible says, it was right after his baptism, it says that Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and then he was also led out into the wilderness. I'm not talking about physically taking somebody out to the wilderness this morning. And in Acts, Philip, right after he baptized the eunuch, was led by the Spirit to go into Samaria. Again, hey, you go and do that. Well, look first in Romans chapter 8. And I'll just go ahead and read this because it's short enough. This is one of the two places where the Bible is talking about being led by the Spirit like we can be. Okay? These are letters to churches. Therefore, brothers, verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Paul, in Romans and then in Galatians, and if you want to go ahead and turn to Galatians 5, that's where we're going to park this morning, contrasts what? What's the contrast here? There's two paths. Okay. What are they?
The flesh and the spirit.
Yeah. One is being led by our own desires, and the other is being led by the Spirit. All right? So turn, if you would, and we'll stay in this text, I think, probably for the whole time, to Galatians chapter 5. Now, the church in Galatia, we don't have a lot of time to talk about them. Galatia's north of the Holy Land. It's on the Black Sea. It's very large. The church in Galatia was having a struggle. It was actually having several struggles. One of the struggles was, do we give up our Jewish heritage and our roots and just take on this Christianity altogether? And that was a struggle that the early church was having in a lot of places, right? And so Paul writes to them saying, no, you're missing the boat here. You don't have to be circumcised. Remember those things he was saying. But the other struggle was a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Also, in a sense, at least the first part, the law and the spirit. And so look at chapter 5 and look at what Paul writes to them. I guess, let me just start at verse 13, but the text I'm going to center on really starts at verse 16. So we're in Galatians 5, all right? You, my brothers, were called to be free. Ever thought about that? Ever focused on the freedom that we enjoy? As Christians, the spiritual freedom that we would have, contrasting that, of course, to people that lived under a very hard law to follow, right? That's what he's talking about. Don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Okay. So I say, live by the Spirit. This is one of these times when the King James Version actually does a better job of translating this. The King James Version says, walk by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. Now, when the Bible talks in terms of walking, it's talking about something that you don't just do once. Okay, it's an ongoing process. So when John wrote in 1 John 5, verse 7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continues to wash away our sins. Something that's a daily thing, all right? The Old Testament has people that walked in the Spirit, walked with the Spirit, walked with God. You might remember Genesis chapter 6. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Remember that? The next verse says, and Noah walked with God, all right? Now, I told you I test drove this one, or test drove all my lessons with my little church in Louisiana, and so poor Claire is hearing this for the second or third time. She says I say it more than one time. Get this beautiful part of the Old Testament, okay? Noah walked with God, okay? Noah didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to walk with God. You remember Noah's lineage? Noah's father was Lamech, and Lamech's father was Methuselah. And Methuselah's father was Enoch. And Genesis chapter 5 says that Enoch walked with God. And then one day he was no more. That's a beautiful verse of a very religious man that one day God just took him up. And can't you see in their family heritage, Noah, four generations down, hearing story after story about his great-grandfather Enoch, that walked with God, and one day God just took him up. So lesson number one has nothing to do with this other than when you go out there, don't you think that these little kids in your family aren't watching what you did. And it isn't important, because it is important. And Noah walked with God because his great-grandfather did, in my judgment. Okay. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. This is easy, and it also is hard, right? Jesus said it like this: no man can serve two masters, right? Someone once said that's the clearest verse against bigamy in the New Testament, and I think that's true. Okay, let that sit for just a second. For you lawyers that are in the audience, you know that when we look at conflicts and things like that, that's one of the fundamental rules, Greg, isn't it? Fundamental rules of the Bar Association, that we can't serve conflicts. We can't serve two different groups, can we? Now, a member of this class told me a story that happened in her family. I'll come back to that in just a second. It's impossible, though, to both serve our sinful nature and our spiritual nature. It's easy said. Have you ever tried that, though? Have you ever tried it? Anybody want to just
say that again?
Do both. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried, like I did in my college years, to go to church on Sundays, but maybe on the Saturday night at the LSU Stadium, I wasn't really serving the same master I was on Saturday, on Sunday morning? Yes? Yeah, okay. Is it possible to do that in the long run? Go, go. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell you why?
Yeah. Anyone ever seen that or have an experience with trying to straddle both worlds? Straddle? I think we do it a lot. Yeah.
Any, yes. We try it a time.
We do, don't we? Yeah. Yeah.
At least, you know, I don't know a person perfect enough to not.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right. And the verbs, understand that the verbs that are being used are not this one-shot deal, okay? The verbs that Paul are using are these, like John uses, this ongoing thing, okay? It's not that we're going to make a mistake and that's it, all right? And then we're no longer being led by the Spirit. That's not what the text is trying to say to us, all right? Any other comment? Any other just sort of experience? Okay. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Let me ask you, this is kind of a question where the rubber meets the road, all right? Is it our nature to do good, or is it our nature to do bad? And before you answer that, let me just say, in my youth, I remember having a long debate at the Sigma Nu house with another person that went to church regularly, and I said, you know, I think that people are inherently good. And he said, no, they're inherently bad, all right? And I picked out a couple of quotes that you might be familiar with. Remember Anne Frank, that wonderful quote where she says that, in the final analysis, I think that people are good, you know, how she would say that. Or Martin Luther King quoted a Unitarian minister in his time, and he said the arc of moral history is long, but it bends towards justice. But is that true? And you folks that are in the legal world, does it always bend toward justice, or occasionally does the bad guy really win, or the people with the deep pockets really win? So let me ask you, do we go toward bad, or do we go toward good? Yes?
I think most of the time, our natural tendency is to go toward immediate desires without having discipline, because it requires discipline to look beyond the next 3 seconds or 3 minutes or 3 days. Mm-hmm. And that arc that bends towards good is God's influence.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just sort of paraphrase for those that didn't hear you, to go toward nature, our nature, right? Yeah, yeah. Good comment. Yes?
I have always kind of marveled, to be really honest, that at least in the world we tend to live in here, and I wouldn't say it's that way everywhere, people do tend to do what's right most of the time. If they didn't, we would be in chaos, and we're not. I don't know that it's necessarily human nature to do that, but I just think the majority of the people that I know are not, I would never consider them evil. You know, we don't run into the Hitlers very often. Most people are inclined to try to do right by their families and, you know, take care of their own and do it in a way that's respectful of their government. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we don't go out and speed every day. I mean, I do. But, you know, there's just in general the things that really consider important. I think most people try to live, you know, what they consider a good life. Mm-hmm. And not completely all the time selfish.
Good. Nice comment. Yes?
Cooter, what you said earlier about beware of our children, they watch everything we do, I think that's the foundation of where problems get started, is the adult. It's how they present this world to the youth.
Good. Very nice comment. Yes, Jim.
You know, if we're made in the image of God, then we must be drifting toward good.
Yeah, very nice comment, Jim. Very nice comment. Yes.
Well, I need to preface this by saying I do watch on the internet the baby eagles in Washington, D.C. and in Southeast Florida, where you watch the parents kind of build the nest, then the mother lays the eggs, and they sit on the eggs, they take turns sitting on the eggs. And I've thought, ever since I've been watching them, I thought everyone in the world, Gail watches also.
Good.
Animals are a great example.
Great. They certainly have it naturally, don't they? Yes, Hugh.
Well, I think we as a group of people naturally want to do what's good because we have people do things that are good for us. We know how it makes you feel. The problem we have in today's world is we have such good news and such good government, all the bad stuff. Mm-hmm.
And the good is drowned out almost, are you saying that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good comment. Yes?
I think we got both inside.
Oh, good.
You got a good dog. And
sit like in a cartoon, sitting on your shoulders, right?
Which one wins out?
Yeah.
Which one you feed them up?
Ooh. See, that comment actually fits Galatians in a lot of ways. Yes, Barbara.
It's interesting that you've asked this question, because my question would be, can we even discern what is of the spirit and what is of the flesh? This morning, I was putting on this necklace, which I got for my birthday, and it's glittery. And I thought, when did we decide that women, it was okay for them to wear jewelry? So just as an example of how what we discern as of the flesh today was not what was discerned of the flesh in the past. We've evolved into other thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure I always know what is of the spirit and what is of the flesh.
Good. Good comment. Hopefully we'll talk, bring that together a little bit. Yes?
Yeah, I'm just kind of wrestling. Now, maybe I'm a victim of news covering, whatever. I don't think so. I think the good nature is true for the people we know. But I think about all the people just in the country, not the world.
And are you saying that this is a subset, that we would expect more out of this subset than?
I think so. At least what I understand people are into and gaining popularity, and just how people are spending their time. And I'm just not sure the nature is all that good of just all the people out there.
Good comment, Jim.
Yeah, I think Jim's comment was really relevant in that, if we are made in the image of God, we should have good with us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus spoke very clearly about this. You can't call me good. No one is good but God alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which sort of talks to, if you have walking with God or walking with the Spirit, you're able to be good because of that. And if not, you're not.
Good. One more comment before we move on, Dana.
I think that you will look at a child and go, oh, you look just like your mother, your father, or they will have mannerisms that are just like the parent. I believe that agape love is a manifestation of God in us. That, if that makes sense, it's like if you say, oh, you have your father's eyes, or you have your mother's voice, that is God in us, and that good coming out is Him. The other side of us is the part that hits the snooze button an extra time, or takes what we shouldn't, or doesn't do what we should, that I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do side. But the good in us, that arc that's bending toward good, I think is God in us.
Ooh.
Not us, but
mm-hmm.
Him.
Maybe even the Holy Spirit in us, maybe?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's the same thing.
Very good. What did she say?
She says that the good that comes out might be because of God in us or the Holy Spirit in us. Yeah. Any other comment before we move? We've got, yes?
I think that how you feel after you do something wrong and after you do something right is like a good indicator of what's more natural. Because, the phrase, how you sleep at night is kind of a good example of that. Like, you just feel much better if you're doing something that's good.
Yeah, and whether you can sleep at night, right? Greg, this young lady works for a really good law firm named Haynes and Boone. That's the best comment that came out of Haynes and Boone this whole summer, I want you to know. Let's move on just so we can finish this thought at least, all right? If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this because it's not my thrust, but they had a big fuss because a lot of them wanted to go back to the law. And what was the problem with, what's the historical problem with the law?
None of us can keep it perfectly.
You can't do it, right?
You can do it without and still have a bad heart.
Ah, yeah. You can't do it, or excuse me, you could do it, but maybe still not be in the right place, right? Not be.
None of us can do it perfectly.
Exactly.
None of us can do it partially, but still have a bad heart.
Yeah. And so Paul writes to them in Galatia for two problems. One was they were struggling with the law, Judaism, going back to that. No, you don't want to do that. First of all, you can't do it. And second, that I'm harping on more this morning, is this battle that goes on. We don't have that one. We don't want to go back to the law like that. But we do have the other one, okay, today, where we have a fight over who's going to be in charge of Cooter today. All right, is Cooter going to be in charge of Cooter, or is the Spirit going to lead Cooter today, okay? That's a real fight that we have. And so Paul then talks in terms of, here's what the flesh looks like versus what the Spirit looks like, okay? The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Those are described in a word, a Greek word, I may not pronounce it right, porneia. And that may be a mispronunciation, but we get the word pornography from that word, okay? It's the same root word, okay? It's sexual impurity, adultery, fornication, pornography, which they had. It was different. They had live victims of pornography. But all of those things that may be wrong sexually, Paul says, you can't be involved in that and be led by the Spirit. You can't do that, okay? Now my story that someone was telling me about, a relative of theirs that, he was so religious and met somebody else at work and started having an affair. And when people talked to him about it, they said, you know, what's going on? And he said, well, you know, God might be just leading me to this other person, okay? No, the Spirit doesn't lead you into this word porneia, okay? They fight each other, all right? Idolatry and witchcraft. And this one is interesting. Witchcraft is interesting. It's also, I think, in the King James, it says sorcery. The word that's used here is pharmaka, I think. I'm not a Greek scholar at all. In their day, particularly in places like Ephesus, and I know several of you have been to Ephesus. It's a lovely place to go to. There was a lot of sorcery, a lot of witchcraft there. And in addition to that, there was the use of illicit drugs. Pharmaka, we get pharmacy from, okay? And so they were tied up with that. And idolatry was a big deal then. It's not a big deal today, is it? Oh, it is? Is it? How in the world is idolatry a big deal today? That was tongue-in-cheek, of course. Of the list, in this room, okay, idolatry is probably number one of the things that we do wrong, okay? Most of us are sexually pure. We're married to folks. We behave ourselves and that sort of thing. But many of us have problems with idols, right? Many of us put things and places that we are in ahead of God, so much so that it occupies most of our waking hours, right? And that's what Paul is talking about, that if you have something out there, it's wrong. It's not led by the Spirit. Anybody want to jump on me? Anybody want to disagree with me on that? Okay.
Money's a big issue.
Money is a big issue, yes. Money and the chase for money, yeah, yeah.
Well, I think we have human idols.
I do too. Go with that, though. Go.
Well, I mean, sports figures.
Act. Yeah.
Actors. Just anybody that's famous that draws you in some way.
Yeah.
And it convinces them it's even a good person.
Exactly right. Yeah. I've often thought, you know, God understands that these idols don't count. You know, you can worship an idol all day long, the idol can't do anything for you. I think that the problem with idol, though, is it just really hurts God's feelings, really. It's so contrary to all the things that he's done for us to put something ahead of him like that. I really think, you know, I think we have a big problem with idols, not just in this church, not just in the Park Cities, not just in Dallas. A lot in the United States, like you're saying, that we have a lot of things that we put that occupy a lot of our time. Okay. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy all lumped together. If your major job is to be a big troublemaker, okay, you might not be being led by the Spirit, all right? The Spirit leads you away from those sorts of things, all right? And I heard Jim Samuel say one day when one of our elders was retiring, being an elder at this church or any church is not for the faint of heart, okay? And that is true. But, you know, we have people who come sometimes with legitimate gripes and sometimes really wanting to cause us a little dissension, all right? And so you need to worry about whether you're being led by the Spirit if you fall in that second category. Okay. Drunkenness, orgies, that's the total loss of control in both of those, okay? Total loss of control. Drunkenness, where you're beyond control. Orgy, where you're beyond control. And the like. All right. Now, I told you that I prepare my lessons. I go back to this. This is a terrific commentary written in the 1930s, and I always try to look back to see what were people thinking. The Galatians one is written by David Lipscomb, and he has one thing I just want to read to you and the like. Okay. This includes not only the things enumerated, but all of that kind. None included in this list can be omitted, and all others of the same are included. It is sometimes contended by worldly-minded church members that revelry does not include dancing. If not, such like certainly does. Okay, you can fish. Fish got to swim, and David Lipscomb's got to preach against dancing. Okay. This is a, otherwise it is a terrific commentary on this. Okay, so. So the picture is looking at who's going to be in charge of you. Okay, so all right, so that's easy to talk about. How do we figure it out? How do we figure out what's the Spirit wanting us to do?
Isn't there something in there about testing the Spirit?
That's good. Yeah, it's in. Yes, there is. Yeah, good. Yes.
I think there's a phrase, "die to self."
Ooh, good. Yeah. Putting yourself second, yeah.
In us,
yeah.
So that we were like.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, what are some sources to figure out what the Spirit wants us to do in our life? Oh, are you raising your hand, or is that your answer? Yeah, that's a good one. Very good one.
There's a pretty good list. If you keep reading on down there.
Exactly right. We're going to come to that next. Yeah, that's the happy side.
Help.
Yeah, and if you demonstrate those things, as Bill and I will talk about next Sunday, maybe that's showing that you are being led by the Spirit, right? Yeah, yeah.
I think if we wake up every morning and we say, what can we do today to be more like Jesus, then those little friends that say, what would Jesus do, are a pretty good rule that if we examine anything we're going to do, doesn't matter, work, whatever it is, if that's what Jesus would do, we can do that.
Excellent. I'm going to almost come back to that right at the end because I think that's so true. Okay, so the Bible, yes, Corey.
Yeah, I think about all the one another verses.
Ooh, good.
I just think that we're not called to do this in isolation and to be perfect. And I think that we're put in charge for a reason, and that is to build each other up. And so I think the Holy Spirit works in you.
Nice. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're saying being part of a Christian community is part of that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, relationship, not just physical closeness, proximity, but having relationships with fellow Christians that you can tell your struggles to, and you can hear their struggles, and build each other up.
Yeah. So we've had Bible and Christian fellowship and community. Yes.
Earlier, a lot of the comments had a word and a phrase, care about and important. I think that as your relationship with God and with other Christians and other people matures and is strengthened, the more important that becomes to you and the more you care about it. The more important something is to you and the more you care about it, the more you care for it and the more you begin to nurture it.
So, and time, maturity, those are the sorts of things, yeah, effort, yeah, okay. What about prayer?
It's a part of that relationship.
Exactly right, okay. Yes, Don.
Questions I most often face from individuals who are interested in this topic was, can I know the Holy Spirit is leading me or not? I found that a very provocative question.
It is, and since I teach at the SMU Law School, and when someone asks a really hard question, I always say, what do you think? I kind of think, you can't know 100% though, I don't think, but go with your what you think, Don.
Well, let me just say that I have a lot of individuals who tell me the Spirit said this to me, the Spirit told me that, God said for me to go do this. I'm a fairly rational person, which makes me happy. But I don't think they're all that irrational. I think my rationality is far too strong. So somewhere in between all that, there ought to be some kind of moderation that we ought to find. I'm not sure the answer is ever going to be as precise as we might like for it to be, but I think we can be aware when the Holy Spirit is leading us.
I think I agree with you. The measurement might be, in part, the list that I just gave you are things we know are so contrary to the Spirit that He's not going to lead us to. And the list that we're going to talk about next week are a list of things that we know are part of being with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Can we know to the 100% degree that this is what God wants me to do? I'm not certain that I can. I think we probably can know more than we have thought historically in our fellowship, all right? That this is not a wound up thing that's just passed out and we just live our lives randomly. We don't. That's not what Galatians 5 is saying, okay? Yes?
Back in Romans 8, where we started, the Scripture says we did not receive a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship. And then he goes on to say, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So if we have God's Spirit, He's trying to communicate with us, it seems to me.
He is.
That we are His sons, and we're going to make mistakes, lots of them. But we still have that spirit of sonship and not fear.
Good comment. Very good comment. Greg, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Oh, Doc first, and then Greg.
I'll answer your question. Mm-hmm. 14th verse, he says, the whole law is filled in one word, love your neighbor as yourself.
Terrific comment.
But that's one way, is it loving?
That's right. Yeah, how are we acting to each other? Yeah. Greg, if you'd lead us in a word of prayer, stay 1 minute after this prayer, okay? Thank you for being here. Amen. Claire and I got to go to 2 weddings in New Orleans this past spring, and we went to one in March, and we stayed with some friends, and the next morning, one of them told me a story that sort of stuck with me for the last 3 months. A priest was asked after Mass by a little girl, when did you decide to become a priest? He said, this morning. And she looked at him kind of peculiarly. Every single day that I get up, I look in the mirror and I decide whether I'm going to put on a Roman collar and be a phony or whether I'm going to be a servant of God. It works the same for you. Okay. Tomorrow morning, you get a chance to say, am I going to do what self wants or am I going to do what Spirit wants? I hope that all of us, and that includes your teacher, makes the right choice tomorrow. Have a great Sunday.